Shavatsuru. This kina, like so many we recite on Tisha B'Av, including the first 15, was composed by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. Tosfot in Masechet Chagiga suggest that he was Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus. Other Rishonim suggest that he was not a Tana, but perhaps an Amora, or someone from the time of the early Gaonim, or perhaps someone who lived as late as the 10th or 11th century. A bit later we'll see in the 19th Kina, Lacha Hashem Estvaka, a strong indication that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir lived in the 10th century. His kinot have become standards, the basic texts of Tisha B'Av. His piyutim have become so accepted because of several factors. First of all, almost every line hints at a Ma'amar Chazal. He had the entire Mesorah at his fingertips, and he includes ideas that are not his own, but rather have a firm basis in Shas and the Midrashim, including some that have otherwise been lost. Because of this, we know that what we say on Tisha B'Av is firmly planted in our tradition. Secondly, his keynote are able to serve as a pedagogic device, teaching us about the Chorban. By carefully analyzing his words, we not only are on firm traditional ground, but we also learn about events and halachot that we otherwise may not have known. This was especially important during times of persecution, when public Torah learning was prohibited. Through his keynote, people were able to learn ideas that would otherwise have been closed off. Third, the Rambam teaches in Hilchot Tanit, Perek Dalat Halacha Bet, that an important part of a Tanit Sibur, a public fast day, is when an elder of the town stands up in front of the people and delivers words of Musar. The keynote of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir performed this function as well. The structure of Shavatsuru is based upon the alphabetical structure of Megillat Eicha. Every chapter of Megillat Eicha, except for the fifth perek, is written in alphabetical order. The fifth perek is not, though it still has 22 psukim corresponding to the numbers of letters in the alphabet. The other anomaly is the third perek, which is a triple alphabetical acrostic. Shavatsuru has a fascinating structure. It begins with the letter Samech, as the first 14 stanzas were originally recited as part of Chazarat Hashatz. The first word of the first stanza, Shavat, is the first word of the 15th pasuk of the last chapter of Eicha, the pasuk that would have been Samech had that chapter been written alphabetically. The second word, Suru, is the first word of the 15th pasuk of the fourth parak. The next three lines, Sechi, Sakota, and Sakota, are from the Samech verses in the third parak in backwards order. The next line, Safku, is from the equivalent pasuk in the second chapter. And the final line is a quote from the Samech verse in the first parak. This follows through the next eight stanzas, with each one going through the psukim of Eicha in alphabetical order, with each one working backwards from the fifth parak to the first. The ninth stanza has the name Elazar as an acrostic. One of the most important themes of the keynote is apparent in the very first word, Shavat. Everything stopped immediately. There was a sense of suddenness. No matter how much the people were warned, they didn't really think that this tragedy could actually occur. This resonates with the word Eicha itself. While Eicha does mean alas or woe, it primarily is a form of the word Eich, how. Despite everything, we don't know how this happened. Intellectually, we can accept that our sins caused the Chorban, but emotionally, there is no way to understand the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. This is what is often lacking today. We have the intellectual depth to see the Chorban, but lack the emotional depth to feel it. When someone sits Shiva, it is halachically wrong to tell him why something happened or explain how in some way it's gam zul tova for the best. There are times for intellectual acceptance and explanation, but in the midst of emotional turmoil, we can never do such a thing. On Tisha B'Av, we look for no explanations. Indeed, it would be as cruel as explaining to a mourner why his loved one has died. Instead, we need to feel the immediacy of the loss in its emotional totality. This is also reflected in another theme of this kina, the constant use of the first person. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is instructing us and enabling us as individuals to feel the absence of God and the horrible experience of the Chorban in a personal and immediate way. The final three stanzas, and especially the final two stanzas, have a different theme, the theme of consolation. Here we mention that Yaakov's face is engraved on the Kisei HaKavod, symbolizing the eternal covenant between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Like Eicha, and like Tisha B'Av itself, the Kina concludes with a note of nechama, of consolation. Our final realization that one day everything will return to its natural state.